Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, bangers, and welcome back to Banging Book Club, the podcast where we read books about sex and gender. My name's Lena Norms. Now, if you're a dedicated banger, you'll know that last episode we read A Quiet Kind of Thunder by Sarah Bernhard. So we thought we'd do a follow-up mini-sode talking more about the perspective of sex and disability. Without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Hannah Witten, our reporter on the ground, who is talking to two very special ladies, Emily and Jenny, and I can't wait for you to meet them. Do stay tuned to the end of the podcast because I will be announcing who has won some very special Banging Book Club books, and I will speak to you on the flip side. Over to you, Hannah.
Hi, Emily. Hi, Jenny. Thank you for coming and chatting with me. First of all, do you guys want to introduce yourselves and what you do, basically?
Sure. So I'm Emily Yates. We both work for an amazing disability charity called Enhance the UK. I'll let Jenny tell you a little bit more about them. I also do access consultancy and travel writing, and I've presented a couple of documentaries for BBC Three as well. I'm a wheelchair user with cerebral palsy, and In a very strange sense, it's amazing the opportunities that my disability has brought to me.
Mm-hmm. And we met because we were both selected as like the BBC's 100 Women,
yes,
the Girls Champions.
That's right.
Fit.
That's right. Yeah. So we did a cool little recording.
Yeah.
And Facebook Live, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah, all about like sex education and everything. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm Jenny Williams, and I'm actually the founder, I'm the CEO of Enhance the UK, which is a charity.
Amazing.
And everybody that works for the charity is completely disability led, which is really important when I set it up. And I'm a hearing aid user, so I've got something called a degenerative hereditary hearing loss. It means born hearing, essentially. And then over the years, my hearing has gradually gone or is going. I'm a very good lip reader. No one likes to show off, but I am.
What do you think of those like bad lip reading videos?
They're hilarious. Yeah. But also when people try and say, can you tell what I'm saying? And they over-exaggerate their lips and say, no, you just look really silly, so I don't want it. But Enhance UK basically educates. It's run in two ways. It educates people around disability, so we go into schools, businesses. But the charitable side and the aspect of Enhance UK is very much around sex education, empowering disabled people to be as sexually active as they want or not want to be, mm-hmm, starting from all the way with children, looking at inclusive sex education, which is incredibly important because we know that young disabled people are twice as likely to be sexually abused.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of deaf, particularly deaf young women. And then all the way up to adults who may have always had a disability and they've never really understood that they're sexual beings, maybe been quite looked after and mollycoddled by maybe their parents a lot of the time in the best, best meaning, but not kind of like being identified themselves as sexual beings, to people who may have had a spinal injury, and kind of woken up going, to first two questions, can I walk? And
do my genitals still work?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Does my willy work?
Like,
or does my vagina work?
Yeah. Look down and check.
Yeah, pretty much, but there's no support around that. So in a nutshell, that's what Enhance the UK does.
Amazing. So I basically invited you guys on because with the Banging Book Club last month, we read a YA novel about a mute girl and a deaf boy who basically, it was like a romance between them, and it was very, very lovely, and they have sex, spoilers, but it's about kind of like how they communicate and stuff, and for me and Lena and Lucy, it was kind of the first time in YA, I think, but also just in books about relationships and sex that we encountered like a deaf character or a disability of any kind, and so I wanted to talk to you kind of to explore that topic more.
Yeah, interesting.
So first of all, did you receive any sex ed? What was your sex ed like in school or from parents? And did it equip you for your actual life? And okay. was there anything missing? Did it... Were your needs covered?
Okay, good question. So the sex ed that I remember at school was putting a condom on a banana, and that's pretty much it.
Classic.
I remember kind of having a bit more knowledge about sex than my friends, simply because I think my parents were very hot on the topic, and I've got a relationship, particularly with my mum, where we can pretty much discuss anything. So a conversation that, you know, any questions that I had, we could easily have that conversation. Were my needs met? Absolutely not. And I would say, in terms of school and in terms of my conversation with my parents, none of my teachers had a disability. Neither of my parents have a disability. Yeah. So my mum could tell me about sex and the experiences that she'd had and, you know, what it might be like for me. But actually, it was very much, well, I'm afraid, Emily, you're going to have to try it and see.
Figure it out on your own. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, you know, I remember being 14 or 15 and kind of being terrified, really, of having a boyfriend and having sex. And because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to navigate that situation. And I was always one of the boys rather than somebody that a boy would fancy.
My sex education was a very long time ago. I'm 38, so, you know, it was years ago. And I think in those days, sex education wasn't great anyway, to be honest. Mm. And I vaguely remember one lesson. Pretty much the whole condom banana scenario, which, you know, most people remember. But I had the opposite. My mum is, you know, a teacher, you know, and both my parents are teachers, but actually not that open about talking about sex. But I've always was quite, you know, a promiscuous, you know, from a very young age. I remember fancying boys, you know, and having sexual feelings from a very young age. So it was something that I was, very inquisitive about anyway. So I think I asked a lot about it.
Yeah.
And I went and did some work experience, as you do, you know, when you're 12 or something. And the woman, I was working on this rare breeds farm, really random, and the people that were running it were lesbians. And I'd never spoken to me about lesbians, and I just wanted to know. Not that I'm, you know, maybe I was questioning my sexuality to a certain point, which I've then done for the last 30 odd years. but it was fascinating for me, and I think so. I just drew experiences because I was able, from quite a young age, able to ask questions because I was nosy, but not from anything. Not that school had taught me. Definitely not.
Yeah. And so when you were trying to seek out the information about sex and more related to disability, like, where did you end up going for that information and how did you find out?
I think I found out by experience and experience only. And I think that in one way has been a really positive thing because it's led to a lot of very positive and very intimate relationships that we've kind of grown together as people because of those experiences and because of what I've learned about myself sexually.
And you're figuring it out
together.
Yeah,
and I think there's something extremely attractive about that and attractive about the intimacy. But it has also led to some exceedingly lonely times where I've not been dating or I've met somebody that maybe I don't feel that emotional connection with and I felt unable to be sexual with them because I almost crave that intimacy that comes with learning a bit more about sex now because that's the only way that I've ever had sex. That's the only way that I've ever done it. So I think that's quite a negative thing. It's led to some quite lonely times when I have just wanted to go out and fuck someone. I've not been able to, you know, really.
Because
I've stopped myself.
Have, like, the tools or the confidence necessarily.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily have that trust in another partner.
I see.
Do you know what I mean? Without that emotional connection, to really just let all my inhibitions go sexually.
Yeah, and be understanding.
Yeah, and I'm 25, and I think that's a problem that I still have, and I need to stop having that problem.
Yeah, but it's easy to say that, isn't it? Stop having that problem. But this is the, you know, there isn't. I mean, my experience was very different because I've got a very hidden disability, and when I was younger, I started wearing hearing aid when I was 8. Massive old things that I used to wear, you know, and hated them. But later on, for me, you know, meeting you know, men or women, It was very much, again, what you see with me is not what you get.
Sure.
So you get this quite, you know, confident person to a certain extent and, you know, and quite hopefully fairly articulate and all the rest of it. But actually, then when you're in bed with me, hearing aids out, light off, I can't lip read, I can't hear.
Yeah.
So my personality dramatically changes. But I had no one. And still to this day, there are no peers. You don't see people on TV with hearing loss very rarely. You don't hear people, as you said, talking about it. And actually, when people think about disability, they do think more wheelchair, you know. Yeah. So probably there's, even though there's very little information out there, there's still probably more information out there for wheelchair users than there are for people who are deaf or hard of hearing. And if you're profoundly deaf, you can sign. Not all the time, but lots of people signed, so they're in the deaf community. I was not part of a deaf community.
Sure, yeah.
I was in living in a hearing world, still am, but with a hearing loss. And so do I identify with deaf people? No. Do I identify with hearing people? You know, yes, more, I guess. But so I didn't have anywhere to go. And that's still the case today, very much still the case today. Hence the fact that Enhance was set yeah. up.
That's really interesting. Kind of someone actually on Twitter, one of Bang Book Club people, actually asked kind of about the hidden disabilities thing. And they said, how to go about dating with a disability and what about with invisible disabilities? And she said that she's got UC, which actually I've got UC, which is ulcerative colitis. But for me, I've not had a flare-up since I was 15. So I'm like, when I'm in a flare-up, I would probably classify as disabled, but when I'm not, I'm like perfectly able-bodied. But then other people who have UC, it can like affect you day-to-day, but you don't look like that. So what are your kind of like dating tips?
Okay, so I think this is one of the moments where it's actually easier for somebody that has a visible disability. So, for example, let's set the scene. I have it in the profile, mm-hmm. and I'm online dating. Now, I really have two very, very simple choices. Either I don't put anything about the fact that I'm a wheelchair user, I don't have a photo with my wheelchair in it, and I turn up to a date and somebody has booked a restaurant that's up 5 stairs.
Sure.
And immediately both of us are in an exceedingly awkward position. I feel awful because I've not let the person know. They feel awful because how the hell would they know that I'm a wheelchair user? And immediately that's game over, let's be honest, pretty much. My other option is to maybe put something, maybe a wheelchair picture that's not perhaps the very front one.
Yeah, sure.
Or put something I remember having in a profile once that I enjoyed playing wheelchair basketball. So it mentions the wheelchair, yeah. but maybe not in such a dramatic way. And I think for having a visible disability, it's almost a bit of an easier dating game because immediately you weed out the people who wouldn't want to date a wheelchair user automatically,
well, yeah.
you know?
We call it the tosser filter.
The tosser filter.
I used that with putting feminist in my Tinder bio. yeah.
Amazing.
So there's
Well,
definitely
I think
got less matches.
It's true. I mean, we both met our current partners online. So on yours, did you put photos on your Tinder profile?
On mine, there was a photo of me in a wheelchair, but it wasn't the kind of very front photo. So the very front photo was just like a headshot. And then it had photos within those five of me in a wheelchair. And I did also mention that I played wheelchair basketball. And I think one positive that I have is that obviously I've been on TV as well. So when people ask about me and what I do, I can link them to something they can see immediately. So they kind of know what they're getting visually quite quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's actually, we run something called the Love Lounge via Enhance UK's website. And it's a online dating, you know, it's, you know, people can write in with their love, you know, questions. Or, and actually it's one of the most common letters that we, emails that we get, letters, so it shows how old I am saying this, common emails that we get, people saying, should I disclose my disability?
Yeah.
And I think that obviously Emily's very confident, she's on TV, as she says, people know who she is. But obviously there are a lot of people out there who are wheelchair users or got, you know, very physical disabilities that don't have that confidence, or maybe got a speech impairment, so get very nervous around, you know, saying that. I know that there's not one right or wrong answer. It's very much down to individual. When I also met my partner on Tinder, and and 5 months pregnant. So watch out, kids. That's, oh, that's what can happen on Tinder.
Congratulations.
Yeah. He's very nice. but I'm keeping him for now. But I didn't put anything at all because, again, I think hearing loss is a very, very confusing thing for people because when they think hearing loss, they think you're completely deaf. Mm. Or they think you're old, you know, like your grandma, you know, people say, oh yeah, my nan wears hearing aid. Brilliant, but she's 93, yeah. You know, it's like, that's not the same. Oh yeah, her hearing aid whistles. I don't care, like, all due respect. And there's, I was chatting to one guy before I met Craig, actually. And if again, I'm fairly well known, you know, mm-hmm. So you type my name in disability and I come up pretty much straight away. There are pictures. And there's a picture of me with it's a jokey picture, a big megaphone. It's on, it's like someone shouting into my ear, you know. And he asked what I did. I told him back on these text messages what I did. And he then, obviously, as you do nowadays, Googled me, saw me, this is assuming, but I think it's the right assumption. And I didn't hear a word back from him.
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't think that's I think that's fairly common, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I always waited to meet somebody for them to get to know. I tell them within the first date,
yeah.
But for them to talk to me for a little bit and say, oh, actually, I'm a hearing aid user, you need to look at me. And I went on it, but equally, very quickly, I went on another Tinder date with a guy just before I met Craig as well. He arranged to meet and I live in Brighton, so there's lots of like old nooks and crannies and pubs. And he was sat down and he was in the darkest corner.
So you couldn't see.
So I couldn't hear him. So I was getting this candle and putting it. He must have thought I was like, oh my God, she's full on being romantic. Like putting this candle under his face, nearly burning his chin. You know, just going, I can't really hear you. And in the end, I had to say, I'm a hearing aid user. I really do need to be able to lip read you. And it all went downhill, genuinely. I think he was a bit of a Wally anyway. But but it was things like that. That's when I thought, oh God, I wish I'd already told him this. Because then he wouldn't have necessarily sat there.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. It's about how you feel.
Yeah, and I guess it's that fear of then that becoming the main thing about you.
Absolutely.
When
yeah.
obviously when you're dating, you want someone to get to know like all of these amazing, interesting things about you, and maybe your disability isn't like the one thing that you want to shout about.
Yeah. And really quickly, then we move on to talking about devotees, you know, people that find disabled people sexually arousing because of their disability.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Because there's a fetish for everything.
Yeah.
So it's like,
there's a fetish for everything, but I guess my only concern would be that we desperately need to educate disabled people about this simply because there's a massive vulnerability and power struggle aspect that comes with finding disability attractive that doesn't come with finding blonde hair and big boobs attractive.
Got
and
it.
I would
yeah,
say
no,
that
makes
that
sense.
Is in a nutshell what we're getting
yeah,
at
the
there.
Power imbalance is like a huge thing. And then I guess it's like if you are disabled and you're like, well, do you like me for me or like what's going on here? Like
exactly.
Yeah. So kind of also on the topic of like dating and just relationships and sex in general. Do you think it's weird that maybe like so disabled people can find that information out there, that sex ed that applies to them? Like if they go looking for it, they can find it hopefully. But then why?
No, they can't.
Oh really?
No, they can't find it. There's not a lot of sex education out there.
Yeah.
And it's actually a big campaign that Enhance is working on and trying to work with people like Brooke, Family Planning Association, to actually get funding, which we're massively struggling to do, to be able to provide inclusive sex education because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And there's sex education for people with learning disabilities, and there's actually quite a lot of funding around that.
Oh,
but that's
really?
Vastly different from somebody who's got a learning.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Disability, but somebody who's fully, you know, cognitively able, but their body doesn't work in the same way. So again, yeah, this assumption is wrong that it's out there. It really isn't. And again, we provide these free resources on our website because actually no one else is really doing it at the moment. Yeah.
And so there's the sex education for people with disabilities, but what about the general public who might find themselves wanting to date someone who is disabled or have sex with someone who's disabled? Do you think then it should be like this universal thing that everyone needs to be getting, like the same education? Yeah,
massively. So I think there's kind of two strands to this, really. I think sex education can become more inclusive just in the way that it's run. You know, why shouldn't we be watching videos that happen to have a disabled body on there as well? Why should that just be saved for a disabled person? But equally, you know, we need to think about how then we adapt our resources. So for example, a 12-year-old female deaf person who is being given reams and reams of information but actually only has the reading age of 5 or 6 because English isn't their first language, British Sign Language is their first language, all of that information that they get given isn't going to be of any use to them. So I think we can make sex education more inclusive for everybody and everybody can sit in those sessions as long as we also adapt the resources that are available to everybody as well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think you've got to look at sex education in two ways. If we're talking about sex education for young people, is one thing, and again, putting exactly what Emily just said, but also sex education, as it were, in inverted commas, for older people, which is not learning, oh, penis goes in vagina, you know, whatever it is. It's about social skills and it's about looking at someone and recognising that actually, and especially for young people, because they're so influenced by porn, someone's body isn't necessarily going to do that, but actually sex isn't all about penis and vagina, you know, and it can be in many, many different ways. Intimacy is part of that, and actually you can have better sex in that way. So that is, if we're going to talk about education, that needs to be part of education, you know, educating people. But I think that comes down to the basics. We've got to get the basics right in this, in say, let's just call our country for now, that when you go out shopping, you go out, even in this building, how many disabled people did I see? None. How many deaf people do you meet every day? Very few. So we need to be getting disabled people more empowered in general to be out working so people see them.
More visibility.
And then you go, oh, actually, I really fancy that guy. Happens to be a wheelchair or happens to be not this, or happens to have dwarfism or whatever it is, not this big thing about, oh, am I allowed to fancy a disabled person? It just should be you meet someone, you fancy them,
just and so see happens, what,
and yeah, it just happens, but it's not, we're so very, very behind. We're 20 years behind when it comes to, you know, you look at gay rights, and you know, the Mardi Gras you have in this country and all around the world, you don't have that same sense of recognition for the disabled, because it's not that kind of community.
Yeah, and also like the celebration as well, that aspect of it as well. Yeah.
It isn't there.
Because it's still seen as relatively undesirable by society. It's not seen to be remotely a positive thing to have a disability. So until that is changed, how can we expect Joe Bloggs in the pub down the road to find me sexy?
Yeah.
And if places aren't accessible, again, from, let's talk, a very physical point of view, I've met Emily, I fancy her, I want to go out on a date. I'm thinking, oh God, where do I go out on a date with her? If I live in London, how do I get around the tube? What places are accessible? Actually, Emily's a bit of a ball ache to go out with. Not being funny, but you are.
Sorry, I'm just going to swipe another few people.
I'm going to go on back on Tinder and I'm going to do some more swipes because you're much too hard work.
And within 30 seconds, I'm going to get another match. Bye-bye, Emily. You know, that is the way that our world works.
It's about, this is kind of part of accepting this is the way that we, the society that we live in. okay, that's fine, it is fast moving and all the rest of it, but we need to see more disabled people, deaf and disabled people, on the media, full stop, before we even look. And that is part of, by default, sex education.
Yeah. I was going to ask a question about the media and stuff and about the portrayal of disability. I'm, like, trying to think off the top of my head of, like, anything, and, like, literally all I can think of is Me Before You, which is, like, I know, such a controversial and...
Very controversial,
book, film. But, yeah, is there any positive portrayals of disability that you can think of in the media? Or is it just this uphill battle?
It's very interesting. We often ask this question to the people that we train, and every single time they come up with Paralympians and only Paralympians.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really interesting thing to think about. We could talk about this for hours, but the problem that we have is that at the moment, you're either an inspirational superhuman Paralympian as a disabled person, or you're a benefit scrounger. And there is no normalised in-between middle road
Just a normal person in their life,
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, that is the problem. So that representation needs to change, and we need to have a more normalised representation of disability so that it's not seen as a massive thing to find somebody attractive, because they're either not a superstar or somebody that's going to take all your money from you, which, you know, let's be honest, if you sat there reading the Daily Mail, that is what you're going to think, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, you say to people, oh, you know, can you think of disabled people in the media? They go, oh, is he in Coronation Street? The girl is CBeebies with half an arm. You know, it's very... I mean, you can pick 3 or 4 people up, you know. I mean, Liz Carr, she's in Silent Witness, she's a wheelchair user, and they've totally, utterly normalised her character. She just is. She just happens to be disabled. And that's fantastic. That's exactly how it should be. But we need... I shouldn't be able to pick out off the top of my head 4 or 5 people. It should be, oh my God, there's so many, I can't think. Yeah. You know, so, you know, and again, we're still... I know there was a campaign recently again about... the Asian community saying, actually, we're not being represented anymore. We're not being represented like we should be. And actually, again, the disabled... I say this word community, but it's very hard to have a disabled community, because when you have a disability, you're very much boxed to your set disability a lot of the time.
Sure, and the needs of everyone is different.
And it's completely different. So there's not a movement. Whereas when you've got something like Pride or whatever, essentially... You know, you've got that movement because everybody's essentially in the same, well, I say same box, but you know what I mean? They're fighting for the same thing, equality around their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for disabled people to do that because hidden disability, everyone's got different needs. And actually, even say on a physical level, you were going to set up a march, you know, how the hell is everyone going to get there?
Yeah.
Like, there's no access half the time anyway, so it's the lamest march ever half the time. And believe me, I've been campaigning and for the last 20-odd years. So I think the way I personally think that, you know, media is heavily influenced, influences the way that disabled people are seen or not seen.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask about mental learning difficulties, because you talked about that. Can you speak on that in terms of, like, and that in consent, or is that not really in your...
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not, you know, in Enhance UK, we very much represent and support people who've got physical and sensory impairments, not people that are learning disabled. And that's right, because they're two very separate subjects.
Do you know of any charities that maybe you could signpost
MenCap are brilliant.
Okay.
They've got some amazing adverts out at the moment. You might have seen them.
I don't know.
I would say MenCap are really, really improving their resources as well. They've got some really good things going on. Do Brooke have anything around?
Brooke do.
Disability?
Yeah, Brooke does have some information. Family Planning Association as well also have information. So it is out there.
Okay.
But yeah, not that we would feel qualified to comment on.
No, fair enough. And I kind of want to ask, in general, what challenges and difficulties can being disabled kind of pose in the bedroom, but then also in what ways is it doesn't make a difference at all, and then in what ways is it better?
Okay, here we go.
You're like, I'm ready.
Right, okay, so I would say for me, I can only talk from my personal opinion, but this is my experience. So I think one of the problems and also one of the beauties is in good communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this goes for whether you've got a disability or not, let's be honest, really, but To have a good sex life, I depend massively on brilliant communication. It's as simple as that. You know, if I can't get into a certain position, or it might take a longer time, or I need to adapt that position somehow to make it a little bit easier for me, that's all around communication. Because if we don't communicate, my partner's going to be like, well, what's going on? What's she doing? And I'm going to be like, oh my God, he's not enjoying himself. You know, so that communication is massive. But I would say that the beauty of that is that quite often with a disabled person, you can have a really, really intimate sexual relationship simply because it takes longer to learn the body and how it works. And you've got to spend time educating yourself on how that person is best going to get off. And so, if you do that, then that's amazing and that's beautiful if you can have that relationship with somebody. There are many, many... We're living in quite an exciting time now in the sense of technology. You know, there are so many different toys that are out there. There's the Hot Octopus range. the Hot Octopus Pulse range. That basically it's a guy's toy, but they also have couples toy ranges. And you can basically use it, whether you're hard or not, and it's kind of like a masturbator for men. And also it vibrates on the underside for the woman. So if you can't, for example, have penetrative sex, but you want to be close in that position, brilliant, amazing. You can kind of think of really great ways of using your mobility aids in the bedroom as well. You know, if you've got...
toys.
You know, if you've got, for example, a handle that goes around your bed, tie yourself up onto it. You know, if you've got a hoist in the bathroom, have sex in it. You know, there are many different ways to almost make the disabled side of sex really exciting.
Yeah, you've got your very own, like, sex swing. And
exactly. So it's just about being innovative. It's just about being innovative. And I think, for me and my personal experience, if I am with somebody who is understanding to that and understanding to my needs and my requirements and actually wants to explore that with me, then it's limitless.
Yeah.
You know, I can have just as brilliant sex life as anybody else if that communication and that willingness to explore is there.
I love that, that would be where I'm at.
We're looking, if there are any companies out there that want to send us sex toys to trial out,
I'm going to try them
because we run a women's magazine called Liability Magazine, and it's written by disabled women for disabled women. There's nothing else like it out there, and we're starting to do sex position of the month using Barbie and Ken. We've had a lot of fun over there putting Barbie and Ken in all these positions, and also doing reviews on sex toys. So we very much encourage people to send us sex toys. But my answer is going to be a lot shorter than that, really, because physically it doesn't impact me at all. You know, aside from, I guess, there's a certain sense of vulnerability when I take my hearing aids out, you know, and you know, don't get me wrong, there's been hilarious times when somebody's tried to whisper something, you know, and I'm like, you don't, you want to do what to me? You know, and I turn the light on and literally they're just going, oh, sorry, I thought you said something completely different. But you can do that if you want to. You know, so that kind of, there's no, I mean, I quite like talking dirty and all that kind of, I do actually really get off on that, but obviously I actually can't. And I don't wear my hearing aids because they whistle and they fall out. And hearing aids. You know, as soon as you see me take my hearing aids out, you know, like, sexy time. So I never wear my aids. But for me, it's actually, it's out of the bedroom. And the last guy that I was seeing a while ago, he was lovely, wasn't he? Absolutely, salt of the earth, lovely. I could not hear him. I could not communicate with him. He was very monotone. He didn't move his lips very well. I was exhausted. So after an hour, literally being with him, I tried for about 6 months, actually, because there was something connect there, but I was exhausted being with him. And I think that's quite a rare, like, why did you finish with your boyfriend? Because I couldn't hear him. But that was genuinely such a huge part of why. So it's different to obviously physical disability, but it's still, communication is always the key, isn't it, to most relationships, I think.
Someone else on Twitter actually asked, how do I communicate in the bedroom if I don't have my, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but the hearing aids, the cochlear implants. Yeah, so how can they communicate if they don't have them in? Can they keep them on, and will they fall off
Is it? Do other people keep them in, or is it?
I think it's totally preference to whether you want to keep your cochlear implant in or not. And thing is, it depends what you want. But why do you need to talk when you're having sex? You know, it depends on what gets you off. But if you're not bothered about talking, you know, I mean, I say be liberated and take your hearing aids out. Like I said, I never have mine in. I don't need it. I'm just if I'm in the moment, then I'm concentrating on being with someone, and that's all I need.
And there are other ways to communicate with your body and hands and everything.
Oh my god, yeah, absolutely. And actually, I don't want to hear you banging on. Like, shut up, do what you gotta do, get down there, thanks. So I don't need to have a chat. But I think it's very much, you know, it's a personal preference. But if you're with somebody who's a hearing aid user, if you're fully hearing yourself and you meet somebody who's a hearing aid user, cochlear implant, have that conversation before. Yeah. Are you going to take your aids out? Okay, cool. And then you know, and then you don't have to worry about it. I can put my finger on someone's lips, and when they speak, I can pick their lip pattern up through my finger.
Whoa! So that's like a superpower.
It's been a lot of training. Superpower, you're just going to get like that, aren't you? This is like 20 years later, I'm still doing it. But I can pick up, not everything, obviously, but a vast majority of what somebody says through their lip.
That's kind of sexy as well.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. It depends what I've been doing with my fingers. that's a preference as well. But I think that, again, you know, it's down to me to communicate. It's my responsibility to communicate to you and say, look, don't worry about it. I'm taking my aids out. This is what I can do to communicate. Communication is a 50-50 thing. From half from the disabled person, half from the able-bodied person. And if you're in a relationship, that's how it should be naturally anyway. So kind of continue down that path, really.
Amazing. I think that's a great place to leave it. Thank you guys so much. We'll make sure that Emily and Jenny's links are all in the description of the podcast, so you can go and check them out. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having us. Bye.
Hi, it's Lena again. Thank you so much to Emily and Jenny for coming on the podcast. That was an amazing interview. Thank you, Hannah. Now, we were running a competition last episode to win copies of the books that we've been reading. Some of them have been read by us. They have marginalia. They are probably a little bit battered, soz. And some of them are new copies. We asked you to review the podcast on iTunes and then leave us a little request as to which book you would like. So without further ado, Sarah G. Sykes, you have won a copy of Nina Is Not Okay. Oi, Jamie, you've won a copy of Asking for It. Oh, That Fangirl has won a copy of All the Rage. Original Afro has won a copy of Nina. Aisha Samaria 97 has won a copy of A Quiet Kind of Thunder. JX Dai Lee has won a copy of Nina. Sophie Cause has won a copy of A Quiet Kind of Thunder. Queer as Fun Zero has won a copy of Quiet Kind of Thunder. Sarah Lucy One has won a copy of 50 Shades of Grey. Wow. Have the ride of your life with that. Kata Snedeb has won a copy of 50 Shades of Grey as well. And Georgia Grace has won a copy of Men Are From Mars. Now, I'm going to leave all those Twitter handles in the description of this podcast. If your name was read out, please check your DMs on Twitter. We are DMing you to ask you for your address. Not so we can have an unsolicited party at your house, but so we can send you some literature. Thank you so much for listening to Banging Book Club. Right now, we are reading Doing It by our very own resident, Hannah Witten. So do watch out for the next podcast, which will be online at the beginning of May. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Banging Book Club, and I will speak to you on the flip side, kids. Bangers out.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.